It is very interesting to study from God's Word and see the shadows that He sometimes uses, or things, commandments that He gave in the Old Testament or in the Law of Moses, and how He makes spiritual applications or fulfillments of shadows in the New Testament. And it can be very instructive to look at those things to help us to understand how to please God more and the kind of people that God is looking for us to be and expects us to be. And that would be our goal for our study this morning, as we want to look at what God's Word teaches about the first fruits to Him. And we want to start in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, which this is not a commandment in the Law of Moses itself, but obviously was in the Old Testament time and builds on commandments that were there. But he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now, there certainly was a physical application to that by the Law of Moses, but we want to keep those words in mind, that we're to honor the Lord with all of our substance, with everything that we have, and with the first fruits of all of our increase. Is this always meaning physical or material increase? Or is there a way that God intends for us to honor Him with the first fruits as far as our spiritual increase? Well, we'll see that God does make an application in that way in the New Testament. But to really appreciate and understand that properly, we do need to go back to the Law of Moses and see the basis of those things that he teaches us in the New Testament as it pertains to being the first fruits unto God. Well, one of the three feast days in Israel in the Old Testament was that Feast of Weeks. And if we turn to the book of Exodus to chapter 23, the Lord gave a commandment about that. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16, it says, "And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field." So he mentions two different occasions there, but the first one, the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of their labors, of what they had planted in the fields in verse 16. And then down in verse 19, he says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk." But the first half of that commandment pertaining to that time when they gathered their first fruits, they were to bring those things into the house of the Lord their God. That was to be given to God. Now, this is something that is apart from, although in principle it's not very dissimilar to what the Lord had commanded concerning the firstborn of all of their animals, and that those would belong to the Lord. But here we see, as God applied this in His commandment to Israel concerning of all that their fields produced, the first fruits would go to God, much in the way that the first of everything went to the Lord. Now, if we go to Leviticus chapter 2, we have some more detail about this commandment for that Feast of Weeks. In Leviticus chapter 2, 12 through 16, it says, "As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of the first fruits unto the Lord, then thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So there's some more details about what had to transpire when they would bring the first fruits unto God. It is also interesting with those sacrifices how he includes the addition of salt to that. There's even, we could have a lesson out of that as it pertains to what the Lord was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount of us being the salt of the earth and us having that savor to it. So it wouldn't be a very far twist off of this particular road to go into that. But for now, let's stick to this point of studying about the first fruits themselves. But again, we see that those things were to be dedicated to the Lord, were to be an offering to Him, belonged to Him. And we see the same thing later in chapter 23 here in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 10. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be two tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." And then he taught them how to number those days for the Feast of Weeks right after that. So this was God's commandment for that particular feast pertaining to the very first fruits of their labors and how this would be dedicated to the Lord. It would belong to Him. Now, God later gave instructions, or also gave instructions, that this food that they were going to be bringing in that would be to the Lord would be actually consumed by the priests, because they did not have a land inheritance of their own to grow their own food like the rest of the tribes of Israel. The Lord was their inheritance. And so they were given those food items that God had commanded of the first fruits to be brought by their brethren, the children of Israel. It was for the Lord, but then God gave it to be eaten by the priests who were serving Him. And that was commanded in the book of Numbers in chapters 18, verses 8 through 14. We're not going to read that particular commandment there, but it was also repeated in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verses 3 through 5. And we have a couple of examples later in the Old Testament demonstrating how that command was obeyed by the children of Israel. One of those was in 2 Chronicles 31, 4 and 5. That's just for your reference to see how God had commanded these first fruits that were of the physical first fruits of their fields in Israel, how they were to be belong to the Lord and be brought to Him, but they would ultimately be consumed by the priests who were serving the Lord. All right, now that was concerning their crops and observance of the command God gave to the Israelites through Moses concerning the Feast of Weeks. But we see the same principle applied to the land of Canaan itself that God was giving to the children of Israel. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 26 now. Deuteronomy chapter 26, as we want to begin this reading in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 26. "And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us unto this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And we want to note the wording there, and in that context, how this is associated with God giving them all of these blessings that he said in turn they were to offer the first fruits of that land of Canaan that he was going to give to them, and that would belong to the Lord. Now later when they entered the land of Canaan, we read in the book of Joshua, early in the book, in fact, when Joshua first sent the spies into the land as they were preparing to cross the Jordan River to enter into Canaan proper that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sent spies into the city of Jericho in chapter 2 of the book of Joshua. Rahab hid those spies on her roof. They brought back word to Joshua and all the people of Israel. They then crossed the Jordan River. And then they came to the doorstep of Jericho in chapter 5. And then in chapter 6, we read about the fall of Jericho. So Jericho was the first city in the land of Canaan on the other side, on the west side of the Jordan River, that the children of Israel conquered, that was delivered to them, given to them by God. And as part of that, in Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, at the time they entered into the city of Jericho, when the wall fell, Joshua commanded the people not to take of any of the substance of that first fruits of the cities of Canaan, Jericho, to themselves. All of that would belong to the Lord and go into his treasury. Let's read here from Joshua 6, 17 through 19. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Which is what they did in verse 24, as it says, that they burnt the city with fire. This is the city of Jericho, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now the next chapter, Joshua chapter 7, is principally about one man named Achan who took of the accursed things of Jericho and hid it in the ground under his tent. And it did trouble the children of Israel and their camp. For that reason, they were defeated in their first effort to conquer the small city of Ai, which would have been the second fruits of Canaan. But that didn't happen in chapter 7 because of Achan taking of those things of Jericho to himself. Well, he was destroyed and all of his for that sin that they committed in chapter 7. But we notice there in chapter 6 that the commandment was everything that was of Jericho went to the Lord, none to the children of Israel. Now all the other cities that they conquered, the spoil was to be divided among the children of Israel. And that we see in chapter 8 when with the second battle against Ai, after they had removed from them that cursed thing. In chapter 7, then in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 of Joshua, it says, "The Lord said to Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." And then he gave the instructions, they followed it. And as God promised, then the city of Ai fell before them. In verse 27 of Joshua chapter 8, It says, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. So we see the difference in, between chapter 8 and chapter 6, the difference between what was of the first city of Canaan, Jericho, that being the first fruits of the land. Everything in Jericho went to the Lord and to his treasury, but the rest then was divided by spoil among the children of Israel. And just to see this further in chapter 11 and verse 14, as it summarizes many of these other battles that were fought by the Israelites in Canaan, it says, and all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. So all the fruits of these other cities went to the Israelites, but the first went to God. So that was the principle. As we saw, that was of the crops that they grew in their own fields, but that also, God followed that principle of the spoil of the first city of Canaan compared to all of the others. Later, when the Israelites were sent into captivity land of Babylon, in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 20, if we go over there and look at starting in verse 39, the Lord was speaking about when he restored them to the land, and we see the same principle was going to be followed. In Exodus 20, 39 through 44, it says, as for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O you house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So as he was going to bring them back, they needed to repent. And they needed to have a new mind and a new heart, and they needed to serve the Lord as he commanded. But as he mentions that, he said he would then receive again their first fruits, as he had originally commanded. Now, let's see this as it translates into the New Testament. Of course, we're going to read one more brief passage from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, to see the this principle in a spiritual applied in a spiritual way. But Jeremiah chapter 2, 1 through 5, as God was dealing with these rebellious Israelites, he expresses what he desired out of them, which, as we just read in Ezekiel, he was going to require from them when their remnant returned later from the captivity. That would be their punishment. But in Jeremiah 2, 1 through 5, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? So he's looking now at this people that had rebelled against him, this people that he had so blessed and that for a time had served him, and he describes them at the time when they were serving him, that Israel herself was holiness to the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. So we see how God is now applying this principle of first fruits to his own people, that they were to belong to the Lord, to be holy to him, separate for him. That's what was the principle of the first fruits. The first fruits were those things that were dedicated to the Lord. It belonged to God. Well, that's what he wanted out of his people. He wanted them to be the first fruits. for them to be holy to God, to belong to Him, and not to be of this world like they had turned into. And it's very sad, just a few chapters over, when he says in chapter 6, verse 13, that from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from a prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So instead of being as the first fruits holy to God, they had corrupted themselves, and all of them from greatest to least were corrupt, were covetous, and doing wickedly. Well, in the New Testament, as Christians, we have to be those first fruits to God. Let's look at James chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. We'll certainly see here echoes of that passage we were reading a while ago in Deuteronomy 26, when he commanded them what to do when they came into Canaan, to bring the first fruits to them, as they were to acknowledge all the blessings that God had given to them to give them that land, and that they were then to bring him the first fruits thereof. Well, look at James 1, 17 and 18. As he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do we not have the same God that so blessed Israel, physical Israel in the Old Testament, that's blessing us as his people today? Ephesians 1 verse 3 says we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He works all things together for our good when we love him and are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. There's so many things that we have these exceeding great and precious promises, and God giving us every good and every perfect gift, as he says there in verse 17 here in James 1. Well, then in verse 18, right after that, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we see much the same language here. Look at how God has blessed us, but then what does God require of us? He's blessed us so that we will be that people that we were just reading about in the Old Testament, that they had forsaken God and were no longer being that kind of people to him. But he desires his people to be the first fruits, to be his, to be holy to him. Look at chapter 2 now, and right after this, in the first three verses of chapter in 1 Peter chapter 2, not James chapter 2, but 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, we have tasted that and all of his blessings. Well, we are to be first fruits unto him. Well, what does that mean? Well, we've got to lay aside all of these things that would identify us as being of this world and not being first fruits holy to God. We need to be the first fruits unto him. The book of Romans in chapter 8, as he speaks of the hope, our hope of the resurrection in Romans 8, 21 through 23, he again applies this principle. Romans 8, 21 through 23 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Well, we do look forward to that resurrection. But for us to be a partaker of that resurrection, to be raised in the likeness of Christ after his resurrection, which he himself has described as being the first fruits of in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. But if we're going to be a partaker of that resurrection, what do we have to be? If we're going to be raised with him, to be with him in eternity, it's interesting to see how he describes what needs to be in our inner man. He says, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So if we're going to be resurrected and inherit eternal life, we need to have the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, we have teachings about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, as he also contrasts that with the works of the flesh. These things that we have to put off and these things that we have to put on and have within us, are we going to be resurrected with that glorious spiritual body to inherit heaven for eternity if we have not purged ourselves from these things that are not fruitful to God and do not work his righteousness, and then have within us, formed within us, to grow in these things that he calls the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, these are the spiritual fruits, and he wants us to have and requires us to have that in us if we're going to truly be holy to him. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. But let's read Galatians 5, 19 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 25. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, those are people that are not first fruits unto the Lord. And if we are like that, he says, we will not inherit. But then in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, this is what we're to walk in, those fruits of the Spirit. That's what we're to have in us. As we purge out and put away from ourselves those works of the flesh, we must have those first fruits of the Spirit in us so that we can have that resurrection and inherit heaven for eternity. When he gives the description of those that will be in heaven for eternity, in Revelation chapter 14, in the first five verses, he's describing people that have the fear of the Lord and that are holy to him. And he again brings up the first fruits here in Revelation 14, 1 to 5. He says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they're virgins. These are which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And that's what we need to be, those first fruits unto God, redeemed from among men, that we will be without fault before him, no guile in our mouth, that spiritually we're going to be pure, none of those works of the flesh in us, but only that fruit of the Spirit. That's what we have to be if we're going to be on that Mount Zion with the Lamb in eternity. Have you become a child of God yet? Have you decided to come out from this world, to be separate for God, to be holy to him, to be the first fruits unto him, belonging to him, living for him, and having his nature in you, partakers of that divine nature, that fruit of the Spirit? This is an opportunity for you to begin to do that this morning if you have not yet done so. Please come forward at this time and confess your own belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is. And if you believe that, if you don't, there's no way to be saved. If you do, you need to confess that before men. Repent, change your mind that you're going to live for him now and be the first fruits unto him, holy to him, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins as he commands in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and several other places in the New Testament. So we're ready to assist you in your obedience to the gospel to be baptized into him for your salvation if you've not yet done that. We're encouraging you to come do that now if you need to. If you are one of God's people, if you have not been living as his first fruits and you need to purge yourselves and repent and come back to him, this is an opportunity for you to come also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, won't you please come while we stand together and sing?